Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Kit.
My name's Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things Lost Edition. We talk about TV and movies. And this series, we're finishing up Lost Season 1. Madison and I are watching it for the very first time. Steve is a longtime fan of the show. That's the shtick. We are on episode 19, Deus Ex Machina.
I can't believe we've made it this far.
Yeah. And I did watch 17 and 18, obvi.
Because you were at this, like, something film cool. This
tiny indie festival.
What was it called?
The Sundance or something?
Oh, okay. Sundance.
Moondance?
Sundance.
I'm not sure.
Sundance. Okay.
Robert Redford's home, Sundance. That's where I was. And yeah, some big stuff happened. I don't think I was a huge... Well, I did. I liked them both. I liked them both.
I was going to say
more than one of these episodes.
Was it some patrons were wanting your reaction in particular?
Yeah, a lot of people were writing in and they wanted your reaction to Numbers in particular. Like, a lot of people were kind of bummed that you were going to be missing Numbers specifically.
I love the bit that Hurley was rich. The idea that he is fully intending on giving Walt $85,000 for losing backgammon is hilarious to me. I love that. What I don't like about the show is that the thing I didn't like about Michael's episode, where Walt's like apparently telepathic, and I said the comment, I don't like the idea that there were supernatural things happening individually to each of them that have nothing to do with the island, concurrently with whatever is going on the island that is clearly supernatural. I think you tried to, we've never brought this up again, I don't think. I was listening to our episode and you said something unlike you because you kind of implied your previous knowledge of the show. We were talking about the polar bear and you said something like, wasn't Walt reading the comic the first time the polar bear appeared or something? And I kind of just, like an idiot, let it go. Like, maybe. And I started thinking about, like, he said that for a reason. It appears that Walt is manifesting the polar bear, is what it appears. Look at Steve.
I think the visual language of the show, I think they are implying that, yes.
Which is why you got angry when somebody said they never explained the polar bear. Because you're like, if you're not an idiot, they explain it.
Oh, well, I can't say anything else because that's not an explanation of the polar bear.
Okay.
I will say that.
But I like that, though. There's like this, maybe, and that's kind of where the obsession with children comes from, especially for Ethan wanting to take Claire's baby. Maybe like children have this unspoken power that kind of directs the islands.
Maybe, but they're implying that Walt had that ability in the real world.
That
his stepdad was like, I don't like that kid.
Yeah,
so you didn't like the idea that the Hurley has this otherworldly numbers, cursed number situation outside of the island.
Well, exactly. now they're doing that again, right?
But and the numbers do originate from the island. That just got out.
True.
To
that was, I did like the hatch thing at the end. That kind of blew my mind that the numbers were on the hatch.
Yeah.
Rousseau had written the numbers down because that's what the transmission that brought her there was those numbers, right? I like that episode a lot. I'm just worried. I'm worried because broadcast television, you know, they kind of think of this shit as they go.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. That's what writers' rooms are. And like sometimes it's great and sometimes they go off the rails, even in the same show. Like just certain episodes would be like, wish you didn't go down that road.
Don't go that road.
And then they won't anymore because that was a bad road. Mm-hmm. and I just worry about the future of Lost like three seasons from now. But a lot of people have said like seasons 3 and 4 or 4 and 5 are the best or something like that.
Yeah, season 3 is my favorite. Season 4 is incredibly strong because that's the writer's strike season. So it's like 10 episodes, but tight. It's like concentrated and tight and really good.
Yeah.
And season 5 kind of continues on that goodwill.
Yeah.
Season 6 is where like it can fall off for people depending on how into the story they are. But season 2 is my least favorite. I think I've said that on the show before.
Warning.
So if we get to season 2, like that's the struggle season, at least for me.
Yeah.
So I'm just putting that out there in case we start watching season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Or you two specifically start watching season 2?
We definitely will, no matter what. And what capacity, finish the show.
I'm ready to be let loose to binge this whole
Madison's
show.
Madison's like, let me off the leash.
Let me in, coach.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to watch.
I really like the Hurley episode. And I really like the Sun episode before that, where he finally finds out that that Jen finds out that Sun can speak English.
Speak English, yeah.
And he's very offended, which I can imagine. You know, that's a big secret to withhold.
Yeah.
And that episode was actually kind of powerful because as a kid, I struggled with that a lot.
Speaking English.
indeed. No, I had this like psychotic repugnance to people talking about me or things happening when I wasn't around. Like I was so narcissistic that like if all of my friends did anything together without me and then had like we were in a smoke circle and they were reminiscing about yesterday while I was at not work there. Or whatever. And they were like, oh, we tried a gravity bong for the first time. And then we went to Doe Run and hiked all day. And, we saw somebody taking a shit and we pushed him over and or whatever, you know, kids do. And I'd be like, oh, I want to push over to taking a shit. What the fuck? God? Like, I'd be so devastated. You know what I mean? That like life was occurring without me around. Like you guys all need to pause when I'm not here. But especially if it was like my girlfriend or something like that, experienced something amazing or something I didn't know about her, would be so I was so narcissistic. Like that's such a personal attack at me that I wouldn't be privy to your inner life, you know, which is why the movie Past Lives struck me so hard. It's my favorite movie of last year.
Such a good movie.
There's a line in that movie because she's from Korea. They're laying in bed together. And have you seen it? Mm. Well, he looks at her and he's like quietly talking to her. And he says, you dream in a language I can't understand. And that like bothers him, right? Because she's Korean, right? So she dreams in Korean, not English. And that's just so beautiful to me, that hit on a facet of the human experience that I didn't think anybody else like knew about. And that's the best kind of movies, right? And I saw that in the episode with Sun and Jen a little bit. Like he's not like, you lied to me. It's deeper than that. Like there's a whole part of you that I didn't know existed and you're my wife. And that's so painful. Like that you wouldn't share that with me. And now I don't know if up is up and down is down anyway, you know, kind of thing. Love that. Hurley's hilarious. Feel bad for him though, you know, like finally got a leg up in life and his grandpa dies and you know, the whole like mom breaks her ankle, house burns down. I was like, what is going on here?
All the bad luck things happening.
Yeah. And that's why he went to Australia.
Are you talking about the numbers?
I hate numbers.
The numbers.
So I had the opportunity. They were doing the watch along in Discord. You can do watch alongs in Discord if you sign up for Patreon. But the European crew were watching the numbers episode of Lost this week. And I happened to be at work, not really doing anything at the time. So I hopped in on it. And one of our patrons, Joey, was saying that her favorite thing in Lost ever is when the Australian woman that Hurley goes and talks to just sits out, you talking about the numbers? and then also something that I was like really bummed that we didn't really pick up on, but Silly Oswald in Discord picked up on it in the live chat when she's like, oh, we want to, you know, he used those numbers in a bean counting competition. Like, that implies that there's 4 million beans in whatever they counted because of the number sequence.
Yeah.
And it didn't dawn on me. So when he said, I'm like, fuck, that's a lot of beans.
So many beans.
Holy shit, that's a lot of beans.
They did say it was a massive jar, right?
I think they said it was a crate or a barrel.
But what also crazy is those beans have been in there for years.
Yeah, because he had been going around the country with this thing of beans.
That's how beans are, though.
Did he count? You don't,
they're dehydrated.
Ugh. Did he count the dude who's running the con, did he actually count 4 million beans and then like,
fuck,
not a single one's ever fallen out?
I'm guessing there's a bean counter machine, like how there's money counters.
Oh, it's like those things that when you would go to like a Chuck E. Cheese, you would just dump tickets onto a weigh station and it would just, oh, you got this many tickets based on the weight.
He knows how much the beans weigh individually, and then it's like a math thing when you just weigh them.
Maybe.
Yeah, and he knows how much the barrel weighs.
It's funny, there is a teacher, I remember this so distinctly, there's a teacher that was preparing this like similar thing where she was gonna put a bunch of marbles in a bin and like the kids would have to guess, but she did it in the classroom with like 10 of us, like during recess or whatever. And she was doing it one by one. So I was counting them as she was putting them in. And it was 86. And I guessed it and I got it right.
Guessed it.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's not guessing. You cheated.
I did. Well, she was fucking putting them in one by one. That's I'm going to count it. Yeah.
That's on her. Madison.
It was so funny.
You did the right thing.
Yeah.
And she's like mouthing it.
Two. One Mississippi.
Who knows?
It was just really funny because I thought I was being this clever, like, 9-year-old. And then, yeah.
You were. You were a hustler. You're basically Paul Newman.
Basically.
You were a young Paul Newman.
But also I was like, this teacher's so stupid. Why would she do that? Yeah.
That's anyway. Why they don't pay you guys much.
God damn.
Yeah.
Just kidding. They should. thank you for raising our children. So that's what I thought of those two episodes. I'm just worried. I'm not saying I didn't like it. I'm just I could see how 3 seasons later you'd be like, you're all over the fucking place, man. You know what I mean? There's flying squirrels.
They are introducing mystery after mystery after mystery after mystery. Yeah.
Especially if they don't like tie it in a neat enough bow. I could be like, I could see throwing my remote control like 6 years for that, you know? But any hoozle, let's dive in.
My wife left me for this.
Yeah, it's because I feel like now TV, I don't know if it's to continue. I feel like there are a lot of twists and turns that have been introduced within at least the past couple of episodes. Not necessarily like crazy, like, oh, what does this mean? Ooh. Blah, blah, blah. It's just kind of been like we've been revealing twists that we've already known, like sons speaking English and like stuff like that. But I feel like TV back then needed to have this plethora of
urethra
of twists and turns to like keep the audience's attention. I don't know. This is just me like speaking like out loud, but I feel like now there's TV has kind of been formulated to not have to do that. There's like, you could do a limited series and have like so many twists and turns, but like also, I don't know. It really all boils down to writing, but I feel like early 2000s TV had a lot of like crazy shit happening in it because they needed to like hold the audience's attention.
Yeah, you
got to
think about commercial breaks and things.
Yeah.
But what you're saying right now is actually controversial to TV heads. You know, there's because I have a lot of like content creator friends who are more TV focused that don't actually watch a ton of movies. They're like TV people and they hate prestige TV, what it has done to the audience, where they can't handle a good half hour sitcom anymore. Or they can't handle, there are no 22 episode seasons. There's a few broadcast shows, but for the most part, you don't get that anymore. And they're like, what you guys think is TV is actually a long movie. Like TV is its own medium that is almost gone and is now just 9-hour movies. Because I remember watching Sopranos for the first time and watching, whatever, you know, like House of Cards and all this stuff, thinking like, oh, they're just giant movies now. This is great. Mm-hmm. And like, that is actually what they hate about TV nowadays.
Huh.
So any hoozle, I think what they would say to that is like,
yeah, long tangent.
Just a little bit.
I agree with you, but I'm a movie guy. I do think that I think the freedom to be able to tell the story the way you want to tell it. Like sometimes I don't need to fill 13 episodes just to get the ad revenue for this season. I just want to tell the story I set out to tell. So I'm going to make a 6-episode season because I'm on Netflix. I can fucking do that, you know, kind of thing. I like that. Right. I think it serves the story. But I think also like when you kind of put yourself in a corner is where the best art comes out. Mm-hmm. And I think so there's some bonkers ass fun TV that came out of like, we got to fill 10 more episodes, you know, let's all get in a room. We have 2 days to figure out what we're going to do.
That's fair. And like, it gives you opportunities to explore really fun things with the characters. Like I think if Lost were made today, we wouldn't have an episode where Sawyer wanted to enact vengeance on a boar. And that's like one of the more fun things that happened. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So
let's start with our overall thoughts on the episode.
You talking about the numbers,
Deus ex machina, mate.
Let's start with our overall thoughts on the episode. And we got some fun little segments at the end. Madison, what did you think about Deus ex machina?
I had a good time. I think we're getting to the meat of the season where, you know, we're nearing the end. So I feel like a lot of things are happening. I liked getting to see John Locke's background a little bit, kind of more of his origin story. His comb over was very striking.
Don't you love like Terry O'Quinn's young now?
Right. Wink. Yeah. You and your dad look like you could be brothers.
Just wait till later.
But no, I thought it was a good episode. I liked the it was very well done. Is it my favorite? I don't think so. I was like, it's fine. I don't know. It's definitely up there as like one of the better ones, but it's not my favorite. I don't necessarily know why. But yeah, I had a good time. I thought it was good.
Steve, what about you?
I look positively on this episode. I'm gonna be honest with you. This might be a little spoilery for you guys, but if you guys are gonna start watching season 2 soon, I want to give you a little bit of a heads up. When this episode opened and I saw it was young John Locke, and I'm like, oh no, this is the we're gonna learn about John Locke's parents episode. Because in the past, John Locke and his dad specifically, if there are John Locke and his dad episodes, they're not great. They're kind of weird to me, at least. This one, I was surprised to find, like, because it's been a while since I've watched the series, I was happy to find that this is actually one of the probably the best one out of the bunch.
Hmm.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But so, like, it was one of those things where, like, the saving grace of this episode is what's happening on the island again. What John Locke's doing with Boone is, like, I like that pairing between the two. I loved how in the middle of the episode they went like super wild horror film dream sequence. That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the ending of the episode is also very like, oh no, what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
And that's why I don't hate this episode. It's very much like maybe a mid to like lower than middle episode for me. But I didn't hate it overall. Kit, what about you?
I'm torn. I really like a lot of what's going on in the present timeline. I hate the Locke and his dad stuff. It doesn't actually make any sense, or it doesn't make a lot of sense. The whole being hustled for a kidney and why would, and maybe it just says about his dad's personality, but why wouldn't the dad just keep the ruse going? Because then if you were just there when he wakes up, he's fine to have given you a kidney and there's no drama, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't want to be weighed down by my 55-year-old son.
Yeah.
I'm a bachelor on the prowl. Yeah. I want my kid fucking things up for me.
I can't be having this kid around me.
I got to go to the ski lodge on my pussy hunt, and I don't want Terry O'Quinn by my side the whole time going, Daddy, can I hunt the pheasants?
Yeah, as he does, trying to play Nintendo, all that kid stuff.
He's an iPad kid.
Daddy, let's play Mousetrap.
And I guess he's just supposed to be super young, and that's why he's working at like fucking Walmart. But he doesn't look young at all.
I was so confused. I was like, did they have him when they were like 16?
And he's
like,
got legs.
Yeah.
New legs, Lieutenant Diane.
Yeah. New legs, Lieutenant Diane. Like,
they walk.
So we don't know, or I forget, did he didn't become paralyzed this episode. Like, we still don't know how he became paralyzed.
No, we don't. I don't think we ever did know that.
We do know, I think he mentions either in this episode or the previous episode that he had been paralyzed for 4 years.
Yeah.
He did in this episode. He tells Boone that.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. I think that's new information.
Yeah, that I think that number is new information for us. Yeah.
So.
Because up until this point, I genuinely thought, oh, he's been paralyzed his whole life. Like, there was no context for, like, why he was paralyzed or how long he had been. So I just interpreted it, oh, he's been paralyzed his whole life.
I'm also nervous what they're going to do with my boy. I'm feeling a little Don Corleone right now.
But what I did enjoy.
Butchered my boy.
What I did enjoy is how the writers were aware of the audience interpreting how he was, like, how he lost his legs. Like, that is a question that the writers were leaning into, because you see him get hit by a car. You see him, like, go through the kidney transplant. Like, I feel
when he get hit in the parking lot, I was like, is he paralyzed right now?
Yeah. I feel like the writers were like, we're like teasing the audience a little
and
bit.
And then he gets up and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And that's, I kind of liked that, how aware the writers were about what the audience was wanting.
Yeah.
That was cool. That was cool to see.
They do that a couple times this episode, because they're aware that we know that John Locke gets paralyzed at some point.
Yeah.
Also, anytime you see young John Locke running through a parking lot, you're like, look out for those cars.
Or like the kidney surgery. You're like, is this like a botched kidney surgery thing?
But then they also, even with the dream sequence that he has where, like, Boone just keeps getting flash bloody, you're like, oh, well, Boone, don't climb that plane. Like, that you're, it really, I think that is a good part of the writing, where they're like making you aware of something bad that happens. And so in the present time, when you're watching these characters, it does increase the stakes in a weird way.
Yeah. Like a good horror movie might do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm nervous about, again, like with the Hurley stuff and all the supernatural things, I'm also nervous about where they're going with Locke's character, because I feel very strongly for Locke as a character. And in this episode specifically, he's getting really, like, out there. You know, like, he has this.
The island will tell us what we need to do.
Yeah, he's becoming like a shaman, a crazy bastard.
Well, something I noticed about this episode that I kind of enjoyed, but also it made me a little uncomfortable, was the fact that, like, he has up until this point been the all-knowing. Like, he has been kind of this voice of reason, but also knows the right thing to do. And this has been the first time that he's been not sure of himself, and he's been, like, stressed out. Like, his legs aren't working. He's like, what is the island telling me? And, like, the island, quote unquote, hasn't been, like, communicating back, like, leaving him on red, you know, like, what's going on, babe? You know, I thought we were,
did we
you
not
know?
Have a good time last night?
Yeah,
did I, like, I told you that doesn't happen often.
You showed me the hatch. I'm like digging in there. You know, what's going on?
I'm rooting around your hatch.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the Lottie of this island, I'm realizing.
Ooh. Okay.
I've Yellow said before that cool. Jack is the king and he's the Pope. And but now it's like, yeah, he's more like the mega church is where they're leaning now. You know what I mean?
He's becoming Joel Osteen.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But we'll see. We'll see. So let's dive in. We start in the past. Locke is rocking working legs and some wonderful hair. Playing Mousetrap at fucking Walmart.
And you got to have a live demonstration. No one knows what Mousetrap is. That's a new hot game. You got to sell that on people.
And then some lady asks where his balls are, and it cuts to the present. I mean, that's technically true. And in the present, they've dug out the hatch.
Real quick, though. Like, when the moment.
What about the balls? Let's go back.
Back to the balls real quick. What shape are they? No.
Oblong.
So the meeting between Locke and this woman, I immediately was like, oh, this is, like, I guess to feed into how badly they aged him.
Right. Like, it looks like a love interest.
Yeah,
it looks like,
oh, like, he's going to get some. And then, like, you find out later, it's his mother.
Yeah. Well, because in his previous episode, they introduced the character's name, Susan. It was that.
Yeah. The
person on the phone that he was talking to.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I could see where you would see her and be like, is that Susan or something?
Well, I just,
or
the someone way, in the this meeting past. Between the two of them, I just was like, nowhere in my mind did I see that and read, oh, this is like
a mom
or like a prolonged meeting.
Yeah, they hardcore, like, Steve Buscemi'd him. What's up, fellow kids?
Hello, fellow kids.
And it was just weird with, like, the boy interaction. I was like, is this her grandson? Like, it just was, anyway, it was just a very weird scene to, like, figure out, and then to later realize that was his intended mother. I just was like, ew.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Very Shannon and Boone of them.
Ew.
Back in the present, they've dug out the hatch completely and they still can't get in it. Boone is losing faith. And I actually said, like, why wouldn't they dig it out? Like, Locke's a smart guy. And you were probably like, well, just wait a little bit. We'll get to digging. They've built a trebuchet, which I appreciated as somebody who played Age of Empires 2 so many times.
I love the conversation of the trebuchet versus a catapult.
Yeah. As a nerd, I was like, yeah, tell him, Locke, tell him.
I laughed so hard. I laughed so hard when Boone's like, I don't even know if I could spell trebuchet. And Locke's like, there's a T at the end.
That's the key. That is the key. The T is the key.
What was it, Boone that talked about Star Trek with him?
It was.
Was that somebody else?
Yeah, it was Boone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Boone's a nerd.
And the trebuchet breaks, despite how many thousands of pounds of pressure it can inflict. It does not break the window. And Locke's leg gets stabbed, but he experiences no pain, which is alarming. So
yeah, Boone's like,
yeah,
with that Chinese logo shirt that he has on.
Your leg is impaled.
You've got red on you.
I don't know if you know this, but you got a piece of metal sticking out of your leg.
I don't know if I should share this story, but this scene, when this type of stuff happens, it always reminds me. So when I was in high school, I was on the high school soccer team. And I was playing for varsity my junior year, and the varsity soccer coach at my high school.
I didn't know this about you.
The varsity coach, and well, I quit after my junior year because I hated everybody. But the coach of the varsity team was a really, really nice man, really great coach, but he was paralyzed from the waist down from a diving accident. And one day at practice, we had done something that was like wrong. And, you know, he was doing the coach, like, I'm rip shit pissed coach thing.
Yeah.
And he has to sit down and he's like screaming at us. But somehow to this day, no one knows how it happened. He had like got a gash on his knee and it is bleeding profusely. And he's yelling at us about whatever we did. And we're all like, coach, because he can't feel his legs.
Sure, sure.
And I remember like this one kid, I think his name was David. David's so like, coach. He's like, don't interrupt me. David's like, coach, you're bleeding. And he just like looks down. He's like, so I am. I got to take care of this. And he like goes and leaves.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's just like that.
Yeah.
Because he's like upset about the trebuchet, right? Yeah. This is identical to what the situation. Yeah. So he goes back to camp and he's like poking it with a safety pen. And he fucking burns his foot and he's like, uh-oh.
Yeah, he escalated.
Why didn't he at least burn the wound, which would have had some medical effect instead of just his foot creating another wound?
I don't even walk.
It was like, God damn it. What if he woke up and the feeling came back? He'd be like, oh, regret that.
Yeah.
That's quite painful. But that's how it starts.
Lost.
So then the next day, Locke wants to build another trebuchet. And says the island will tell us what to do when Boone kind of objects. And Boone's a little like, okay.
I don't know about that.
I don't think it will.
All right, cuckoo pants.
I've been thinking about my sister a lot again.
Just throwing it out there. She's
I ran into her. She's still hot. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Back in the past.
Back in time.
He sees the football lady again. And this is when he's like chasing her through the parking lot. He gets hit by a car and finds out that it's his mother.
It's his mother.
Dun, dun, dun.
So they go to a diner. Mama uses a lot of sugar.
Lots of sugar.
He was raised in several foster homes.
Maybe she's one of those aliens from Men in Black.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Sugar.
Water. Like a Edgar suit. Did we know that he was in a foster home before this? That he was adopted?
Yes.
We did, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And she says he was immaculately conceived.
Okay. My thoughts for this was like, she was in a cult. She like had him in a cult for sure. Mm-hmm. And it was like multiple babies were made. Like she's brainwashed clearly. That's what was going through my mind when this was happening. Cause she's like, you don't have a father or like whatever she said. And right. I'm like, she's in a cult.
With sweet hair.
For sure.
Yeah. This is another example
of
the
had a coma.
Clearly 25 year old Locke.
I mean, clearly, why would you guess his age? I mean, he's youthful. This is another example of the writer sort of like toying with her expectations, because in the previous episode with, I think, in translation, he had told Walt that his father was not a good guy.
Oh, yeah.
And that he was
grew
up in the foster system.
Is your dad cool? No.
No, he's not. So this whole episode is sort of like, well, why is he not cool? He seems pretty cool.
Does he?
Anyone who shoots birds for a living. I don't know what that guy does.
As soon as they introduce him, we'll get to it in a second. I was like immediately like, what? Because he's like, you're not a Democrat, are you? You like titties? You're not gay. Better like titties. Like, it's just immediately terrible. Yeah.
You better, God help me, if you tell me you have pronouns.
Exactly. That's what he's giving.
I will lose my shit.
My mind was spiraling with where I thought this could potentially be going. I was really trying to, like, go down my checklist of, like, cult, alien.
But also, when he's talking to his mom and his mom says, you're special, you're very special, that's something that people have told about Walt. Walt is very special. Mm-hmm. And then the two of those two characters
obviously fall down.
She fall down. Walt and I, or Locke and I have a bond.
Yeah. Fern fall down when Locke said that when he shot it.
That'd be so good.
His dad was like, okay.
All right, that's weird.
It did fall down.
I don't know why I said that, father.
I do love titties,
but they are connecting Locke with Walt, and like there's something special about people, and yeah, I just think that's a interesting thing that they're little breadcrumbs they're leaving.
It's a consistent theme that we're seeing.
Okay. Back in the present, Sawyer is annoyed that Son's herbal cure for headaches is not working. We find that out pretty quickly that that's what's going on.
I'm not gonna lie, when he presented her with two leaves, I was like, does he have like a rash on his ass?
So it's so funny you say that, because my notes, thinking that I was being clever, were, oh, there's no cure for herpes, but don't be mad at Son. And that actually becomes like the through line of the episode.
Oh, God.
Like my note right here in parentheses says no cure for herpes.
That's so funny.
And then Kate tries to ask Jack about Sawyer's headaches. She cares for Sawyer, right? Jack does not.
Again, I don't want to objectify Evangeline Lilly's body, but she's...
But go on.
She's jacked. I don't know. Like, I feel like it's been acknowledged before, but like in this particular scene, her arms were just... She must have taken like pre-workout before. She did like a quick pump off screen. But I was like...
Doing some push-ups before the roll.
You Jack, girlfriend.
She
looks great.
Stunningly gorgeous. It's uncomfortable, actually.
Sorry, I sidetrack and talk about her all the time. So
yeah, I never do that.
Understandable.
I do it for the both of us.
I thank you for acknowledging it, because as a man, I'm not typically, it's not a great idea if I do that.
I do it for
that.
The both of us. Yeah. You slide a 20 under the table.
Bring up the body. it's weird when I do it.
You like slide her a little note, like, just bring up the body, please.
No, it is interesting. When I was at the club in Sundance, I was with an influencer who was a female, and there was two women. It's hard to explain what we were doing, but there's like this booth where you could go get like a crazy 360 camera video.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They like
those
spin.
Are at a ton of parties now. Yeah.
So one of those is there, and there's two women in one, and she's got like her early 2000s low cut pants and her thong pulled way up her body. Mm-hmm. And they're in there just making out for the 360 video. And it's like kind of an Evangeline Lilly situation where like, obviously I say nothing. Right. But the girl I was with was like, girl, so hot, so hot. And then they like snatch her up for a while and they're all like all over each other. And I'm with another guy. And I was like, I think they're trying to fuck her. And should we leave? And he's like, nah, they're just being like girly girls. And I was like,
for a second,
I'm 12 years older than you, and I think they're trying to fuck her, you know. But
for a second, I thought you were like, I was with this guy, and I looked, turned to him, and said, like, we next.
But no. Like, the whole reason I brought that up is it reminded me, like, if I had poked my head in there and was like, girls, so hot, way different outcome,
I
right?
I know. So to help you out, I bring it up so we can.
Much appreciated.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I love the friendship that has formed between you two.
I know.
We're tight.
Yeah.
She's a wingman.
She's jacked.
She's my wingman for Evangeline Lilly. So Kate's trying to get Jack's advice about Sawyer's headaches. And Jack's like, oh, your other boyfriend has a headache? Huh. I don't care. We cut to Boone, who's late for work. Right.
I wrote that same thing. He's late for work.
He wants to quit. The benefits are terrible.
And he's quiet quitting as we speak.
Yes. Yeah. And Locke's like, don't tell me what I can't do. That's one of his famous lines. Right. He's very feels very strongly about that.
He's got that trademark.
Boone doesn't believe in the power of the island, but he's not privy to the information that Locke has, which Locke by design is not shared with anyone, which is another thing I disagree with.
Our faith is being tested.
He wants a sign. Right. And then all of a sudden he sees Boone covered in blood. There's all kinds of, this show has never done what it's about to do as far as like this quick horror movie sequence thing. It was blowing my mind. We get the plane crashing, Boone all bloody and muttering, fuck. I wrote, what the fuck is happening?
And Teresa falls up the stairs. Teresa falls down the stairs.
And then Walt jumped out of a tree and went, pregnant lady, fall down. Teresa falls up the stairs.
Locke is in a wheelchair.
He is.
Falls in a wheelchair.
And then, was all of it a dream? Locke wakes up at night in the camp and then goes to wake Boone up to go to work.
Go take him up. I'm up. What's going on?
What?
Oh, Daddy? And then
yes,
right
Daddy.
Now? You want to do it right now?
Are you getting in my hatch? I mean, are we going to the hatch?
Are we going to?
What is it, Daddy? You need me, Daddy? Daddy, you want me to wake up, Daddy? Daddy, I'm coming. Daddy.
Oh, stop. Back in the past, Locke's mama has schizophrenia. He's got like a private investigator or something guy. Yeah. And the dude doesn't want to tell him about his dad. Are you sure you want to go down this road? Yes, absolutely. I paid you a significant amount of money.
Don't go down that road.
So he goes to see his dad, tells the security guard, so his dad's clearly wealthy. Emily Locke is my mom. And this, it's just kind of poorly written. I don't know, man. Cause the whole thing where he's like, tell my dad or tell him I'm his son. This is my name. Emily Locke is my mom. The security guard says none of that. He's like, yeah, John Locke's here. He says you can go in. And like immediately.
I wrote, you can go in, LOL. Oh, you can go in.
Yeah, oh, dude, says he can go right in, LOL was my note. Because it's like so poorly done. Like, would you even need a security guard if you're that chill at that point?
Which is why, because it was so like nonchalant, I was like, there's something weird going on. Again, I'm like going.
Which we now know he was expecting him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I was just like going through my checkbox of like, checklist of like, oh, it's definitely a cult. That's where all of my
it's like, Jared Leto when he walks in. Yeah, like, oh okay
Jared Leto is the father who looks significantly younger than his child.
Yeah,
I do want to say I love the beautiful story of friendship in three parts that this episode has, and that's John Locke's relationship with Eddie, the security guard.
Yeah.
Where it goes from like, you can't go on here, and then the next time
they're bros.
Oh, Eddie, what's up? Oh, you guys getting stuff today?
Sorry, and
the
John.
Last time, sorry, man. I'm sorry, really,
you gotta go.
I can't let you in. Like, oh, it's heartbreaking. Like, Eddie. Et tu, Eddie?
Eddie, come on. Et tu, Eddie.
And his dad is that fucking guy, who's a guy I've seen in a million movies from when I was a kid, but don't know his name or what those movies
don't
are.
Yeah,
that
dude's
man.
In a ton of fucking TV. He pops
He's
up in TV
looking.
Shows.
He is. He's always kind of that guy that he plays in this.
The actor's name is Kevin Teague. You spell his last name T-I-G-H-E?
T-I-G-H-E. Yeah. I would say Teague.
Teague, yeah.
What movies was he in? Go to the 90s.
Well, he's like in a ton of TV shows specifically, like a small, like I know him specifically. My touchpoint for him is he plays Henry Janeway on Voyager, Star Trek Voyager.
Of course it is.
Yeah. But he's also in the TV show from 2009, Numbers.
Nope.
You talking about the numbers?
The numbers.
Yeah. Nope. Didn't watch that.
Talking about the alphabets.
Yeah, I'll go through his IMDb later. I'll figure out where my brain was getting itched, scratching my itch. But the dad laughs at the notion of him being immaculately conceived. Guess, oh, really?
Guess that makes me gall.
Yeah, because I nutted. And his dad's like super Republican. Like, you're going to drink that fucking liquor, aren't you? You're a little bitch, are you?
You're not a pussy, are you?
Well, how you feel about guns? You like them?
Well, he starts. This is, again, my mind was spiraling. He asked Locke if he had a family. And I was like, oh, maybe he's going to like kill him. Because like, I don't know. Or like attempt to kill him or something. Especially
Wait,
when
Locke is going to kill him or his dad's
no,
going to kill
dad.
Locke? Okay.
Because he asked him if he hunts. And like, I was like, oh, like
hunting accident.
Yeah. Like he's going to accidentally shoot Locke like in the back of the
like
back or something.
George Bush him or whatever.
Who Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney did that. He shot his buddy.
Yeah. Like I'm just his dad at this point. I'm like, there's something suspicious. And so it ends up being correct. He is a suspicious guy and he does some very shitty things. But I just was like, there's something's going to happen.
Yeah.
I did like that part where he's like, you hunt boy. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, sir, if there's one thing I know about John Locke, it's he's a great hunt. Wait, he doesn't?
Oh, this is where he
what?
Learned.
This is John Locke's origin story.
Interesting. Well, this is like 20-year-old John Locke, clearly by the hair.
Fresh out of college.
He was like, I don't hunt with guns, just my hands.
My bare hands. Don't you?
These are the only weapons I need.
Cut to them in loincloths and, you know. Trying to teach him how he
hunts. That's a weird way to hunt, son.
Yeah.
Bow and arrow hunting.
I see you got your dad's balls.
This episode was sponsored by BetterHelp. Folks, it's 2024. What does everybody do in the new year? They make resolutions. They set goals. How about we don't do that? I mean, you can. It's obviously nice to have goals, but it's also a good exercise to focus on things that you like about yourself. You know, not making all those high pressure goals that you might fail at and just feel worse. You can set smaller goals. And I think therapy can be a good way to access things that you enjoy about your life and focusing on the positive, the gratitude. And BetterHelp is a good way to do that. If you've never given BetterHelp a try, it's therapy that's entirely online. You can do it all from your home and access a therapist by filling out a questionnaire. And if you end up not liking that therapist, you can switch. Again, along with the theme of this ad, no pressure whatsoever. They're not going to have their feelings hurt by it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Celebrate the progress you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
Happy New Year, everybody. New year, new chances to be thankful for everyone around us. And we are so thankful for every single one of our Patreon members. But now it is time to give a special shout out to our super patrons for the month of January. So thank you so much to Sebastian Generale, Sean Callahan, Stanton Valentino, Bryce Coppin, Susie Callahan, Anthony Corona, Infamous, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Lil Tickler, Svento7, Jay Scramo, Haley Anderson, AK Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Big Butthorn, Conrad, Kaylee Sampson, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Peaches, Emmy, Haley B, Joe Velez, Michelle, John Collins, Amber McVeigh, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sunloving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Lauren Waller, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Orion Moore, Ashley Powers, Stephen V, Casey McCain, and Enza. Thank you all so much. And with that, let's get back to the show.
Back in the present, Locke tells Boone about the dream, which is like the worst whenever anybody does that. Yeah. I was just sitting there thinking, oh, God, this sucks.
It's like, I had a dream about you. And you're like,
cool. Please tell me.
But I did like Boone's callback. Like, dude, you've been huffing that pace you made for me to hallucinate that one time.
Can I have some of that again? And he tells Boone the Teresa part.
Who's Teresa?
Which is apparently Boone knows what that is. And he's very freaked out that Boone or that Locke would know that.
In my notes, I put, did Boone murder Teresa?
Everybody's murdered somebody on this island.
I was like, is this like a staircase situation where he like pushed her down the stairs?
Convict Island.
Michael's raft is
Deadbeat Dad Island.
It makes sense that it'd be Convict Island since they left from Australia. It's an island of criminals.
That's right.
Got them.
Not wrong. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the indigenous. Michael's raft is going fast.
Yeah.
It's being built very quickly with Jen's help.
I can't wait for Walt to burn it down again.
I love the line so much. It's so well written where I forget who it's, Jack or somebody. He's like, oh, you're learning Korean. And he's like, yeah, I know the words faster and idiot. It's funny.
I love the Michael engine dynamic now.
Yeah,
it's great. So good. I love it.
And then Jack asks Sawyer about the headaches, and Sawyer is predictably like, he has a bunch of one-liners and quips, just like Jack said.
You guys are making house calls now, Doc?
And Jack's like, all right, bye. And then eventually it comes out that Sawyer's scared of the tumor. His uncle died of a tumor. What kind of tumor? The kind that kills you, Doc.
Not helpful.
He's very hesitant to ask for help. And then Sawyer turns down all the tests.
My insurance ran out.
Mm-hmm. That's a good line.
Jack loved that. He's like, it's fucking great. Healthcare in this country's dog shit. That was good, Sawyer. You did it.
Nice one, man. Psh, psh,
psh. Boone's they trying.
Dap up. They dap up.
Dude, she's so hot. I know. Boone's trying to logic how John knew about Teresa. And John's like, the island told me. I don't know what to tell you, buddy. Maybe I talked about her in my sleep. Could have, but that's not what happened.
No, you talk about Shannon in your sleep.
And then and then John trips and falls.
John Locke fall down.
But because he fell, like, I'm trying to figure out what's going on here, because clearly the island appears to be taking back the gift of legs that it has given him, right? Mm-hmm. But also he falls at the crucial moment where he needed to see the necklace, because mm-hmm. he was already heading where the dream told him to go. So
that's how,
like,
he's going to find it. They got to trip him up.
Exactly. It's just interesting.
And then that escalates into finding the dead guy in the tree.
Yeah. So I wrote his legs only work when he's doing what the island wants. Like, I'm trying to piece this together. Hmm. But then a dead body falls from a tree. And we cut to the past. Locke's going back to Daddy's. This has obviously been
not
some
back
time.
To Daddy's.
Yeah, back to Daddy's.
He's got such a pep in his step too. He's like, I'm friends with my dad. He's my best friend. We go shooting birds.
Oh shit, he needs a kidney.
High five me, Eddie. Boom boom.
Yeah, because he's been here many times. Back to the hunting ground. And when this scene happened, I knew exactly what was going to happen. Mm. He's having a medical procedure. He's on dialysis. Oh, I thought you told me to be here at 11. He's like, you're here early. I didn't want you to see this. You told me to be here at 11. It's 10:50. And he's like, no, I told you to be here at noon. I was like, he did say 11. He wanted him to see this. He's his son. So his kidney's going to be a match or whatever. Like, I don't even know if that matters, but this is all a hustle for his kidney.
I wanted to protect my 55-year-old son from the sight of his aged father dying.
Yeah.
Don't let the boy see. Don't let my grown boy with an ARP card see.
Oh, my God.
Maybe we do have to adjust the healthcare in this country, son, because I can't get a kidney.
I've been on a wait list for 10 years.
Which is so inaccurate. They would have definitely given the rich guy the kidney first.
Yeah.
We all know
sure.
this.
Yeah.
But we cut back to the present. They think the body's a priest at first, but it's a well-off priest because he's got gold teeth.
And a gun.
I love how Locke knows what Nigerian money looks like. He's just a very learned man. And then the quote unquote priest has a gun. We're bouncing all over the place, figuring out who this body is. We cut to Sawyer, who's losing his mind with the headaches. By the way, who the fuck was the guy banging?
He's just banging a drum.
Literally never seen that guy before.
I really hope that those are like stage hands. Like, those are like, that's like the production crew.
Oh, we need you.
Yeah. Just get it real quick. Bang on this thing.
What was he even trying
Pound
to
the
do?
Fuselage.
What was he even trying to do?
He was shaping the metal, Steve.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Duh.
He was a blacksmith.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, he needs...
He's blacksmithing.
He's making swords.
Sawyer was in the right for yelling at that guy specifically.
By the way, who the fuck are you? And what are you doing?
Where'd you come from? Be quiet.
Cotton Joe. The way you said that just made me think, where did you go?
Where did you come from?
Where did you come from?
Kate is bringing Sawyer to Jack. She's like, I've had enough of this. God damn it. You're being an asshole.
Do I get a lot of bop?
Jack does a bunch of tests. And this is where I find out I was actually a psychic because he does have herpes.
Ever had sex with a prostitute?
And Jack finds out early that he just needs glasses, but decides, especially because Kate's there.
Fuck with him.
I love that dynamic of, because Kate was like, oh, you didn't have to do that. But she thinks it's funny that you embarrassed him. But also he's like, there's a bro code there where he's like, they're competing for the same woman. And now he's like pointedly saying, you're going to catch herpes.
So we all know this is bro code island too.
You either talk about infrastructure with me or you get herpes. Those are your two options. She's like, option three, I go hang out with Shannon and Saeed. And he's like, damn it. I didn't think of that.
God, everyone's wins there. Fuck.
But yeah, I love this scene. I think
I liked it too.
It was so joyous. So he just needs glasses. My notes are ha 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 ha. Cut to Locke, whose legs are getting worse. Boone's freaking out. He's like, dude, what the fuck? You're limping on the other leg. What's going on right now? Plus, you know about Teresa? So in the jungle, laying on the ground, he tells Boone, I was paralyzed for 4 years. It's the only other person on the island who knows this at this point, right? Mm-hmm. I was paralyzed for 4 years. The island is taking his legs back. Oh, no. So he feels like he has to follow the dream. And Boone's like really supportive of that. It, like, it's kind of unbelievable how quickly he's like, oh, okay.
Oh, mm-hmm. For 4 years, you say.
Island gave him back, you say.
Oh.
Hmm.
Huh. And now Island take away, okay. You say.
Pregnant lady fall down?
You say.
Back in the past, Papa and Son are out hunting. That hat is glorious that Dad's wearing.
I know. He's got a little like a pom-pom hat.
Is it a beret?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dad's hustling him. Right. Oh, I'm so glad we got to catch up while we still have time because I'm dying because I don't have a kidney that you have two of. Anyway.
Did you know that I'm dying?
Did you know that you could give a kidney away and it doesn't take that many years off your life?
Yeah. And it's encouraged that family members give kidneys to other family members. It's not frowned upon in cultures.
It's like a normal thing.
If you have family, at least. And you're only 20, clearly. Yeah. So you could.
You're a young man. You can bounce back.
So back in the present, Teresa was Boone's nanny. Boone spills the beans. The beans are out of the bag now. He used to mess with her because he was a shitty little kid, little rich kid. He would buzz her to come up and down the stairs all the time.
He had an intercom in his room at 6 years old.
Yeah. Shannon, hand job. I'm sorry. I hear what I say when you guys do. Same time.
I get in here.
So Teresa eventually on one of these excursions fell down the stairs and broke her neck, presumably died, I guess.
And Locke thinks it's hilarious.
He starts laughing.
Yeah.
You had an intercom.
She fell down the stairs. What an idiot.
Her body's all contorted and she can like press the button. I'll be up in a minute.
Oh, like the woman from Gremlins. Yeah. Motorized chair.
Yeah.
No, but I thought so in the vision that Locke had with Boone covered in blood, and now I believe it's in reference to him like foreshadowing him getting hurt from the plane. Right. But initially I thought, oh, it's like kind of this symbolic thing that he did murder somebody, like the blood of Teresa and whatever.
Mother Teresa.
I don't know why I brought that up. Yeah, I just thought that's what I thought initially.
I think that's a good, live good. Take. I think that I liked the metaphorical analysis of it.
Even though he was six, right? So,
yeah, it's not his fault. He's just a shitty little kid,
All six-year-olds suck.
Yeah. That's scientifically proven.
They found the plane, though, he's laughing because he sees the plane in the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants Boone, because his legs don't work that well anymore, to climb up and look in the plane. See what the island wants us to find. Which apparently the island just wants Boone to die.
Yeah. just wants Boone to die and want Charlie to have more heroin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the past, Locke is giving him the fucking kidney. Uh-oh. They're in the hospital together. And we cut back to the present.
I love the really awkward, like they're holding hands. Like,
Dap it up.
I love you, like, son.
Yeah. You want to get tattoos after this?
Yeah. I think we should get matching ones. Tramp stamps?
Tramp stamps for sure to cover the scars.
And I love my daddy.
We go get a plate of kidney beans. Celebrate. And then back in the present,
kidney beans.
Jack tells Sawyer that he's got hyperopia, and Sawyer's like, oh no, I knew it. What's that? You're farsighted. He's got a big bag of dead people's glasses.
Yeah.
I'm
glad they kept them all.
So what happens here? He's got a different prescription needed for each eye, and that's why Saeed does. Is that a thing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a bummer. Yeah. That happens. That's fairly regular. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's like they're boobs. Like you can't tell that they're a little bit different.
Right. Yeah.
One's a little bigger than the other. Yeah.
The eyeball.
Yeah.
I love the way Saeed's very handy.
And it's frowned upon when you poke him.
This is honestly
unsolicited.
That's true.
Yeah.
Just in line at the DMV. If you say boop, it's okay.
Yeah.
Boop. Anyway, that's what I was been told.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Like, it's really endearing, I think, that, like, especially Saeed, who stabbed the motherfucker, like, everybody's kind of helping Sawyer read A Wrinkle in Time. You know what I mean? It's also implied that Boone never read before.
Oh, Sawyer's reading Wrinkle of Time and he can't read anymore. Guys, he's got to help.
That ending is
honestly
fire.
Though, like to keep him at bay and like away from everything. Yeah. Like keep him occupied, you know,
which Jack's subtle dig of, you know, the eyes, it can develop later in life, especially when put under a new strain because he's been reading a lot. Yeah. Don't usually do that, do you?
Right. You know, I don't.
Usually look at the pictures, don't you? Yes.
But I did like the bit of Jack giving him all of these very wide range looking glasses. Yeah. And Sawyer's like, not those. And it was like the cat eye.
Well, he had
like,
already glasses. Worn the cat eye ones. So whatever style he picked up third and refused to even try had to be. They're just googly with the springs on them. Yeah.
These aren't even glasses.
These aren't going to work for sure.
These are the old 3D cinema glasses that are red and blue.
Maybe we got to try them all. So they, you know, they looks like somebody steamrolled Harry Potter, which you got to think
that was
in 2004. That was a fire joke.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Harry Potter was at the height of its madness.
But again, it's always fun for Sawyer to be humbled around people.
Yeah.
Just because he's so abrasive.
Cocksure.
But he is lovable. So it's just nice when people are like, we're helping you, but also we're going to get ours in.
Yeah. Everybody's having a great time, especially Kate. And you got herpes. That's so funny. Boone is climbing and he's like on the plane. I wrote, dang, he's on the plane. That's wild. Because that seems like a bad idea, you know?
Yeah.
Ooh, see what happens. But I guess he's got to get in it. So he's like, fuck it. He gets in there. He finds a map. There's another dead body. And then Locke stands up. You're like, ooh, what's going on in there? And Boone throws out like a little like a
porcelain
ceramic. Yeah.
Mary doll.
Yeah. Mother Mary filled with dope baggies. Hey, Ron. Charlie's going to be so excited.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got enough to just have a decent habit for a long time.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Crates of it.
I think they should give it to Jack for like medical painkiller procedures.
That's not a bad idea.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. That's not a bad
idea. Just everyone do lines.
Just if you're feeling like a not that great one day.
Yeah.
Everybody do a bump.
Why not?
Prescribed.
Seems fine.
Jack's there to prescribe it.
Yeah.
Do a bump every 4 hours as needed.
Well, you've got a migraine here. Snort this.
Mm-hmm. It would take it away.
Mm-hmm.
They were drug smugglers, not priests, right? That's all the plane has is a bunch of dope. And then so he sees like the radio, the CB in there. He tries that. It works. And I don't like the way that this plays out, though, right? Like, obviously, he talks to the guy for a second and then the plane falls.
Well, the person, he's like, we're survivors of Oceanic 815. And then the guy's like, there are no survivors.
There were no survivors.
I'm like, that's not your first thought.
Definitely. Yes, there are. I am one of the, you know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah.
you wouldn't say that. You wouldn't say, nobody would say that unless it was like Rousseau trolling him. Nuh-uh.
Wink, wink, wee, wee.
Go pull the rope on the beach. That's what I want you to do.
It's the dead guy. He was consumed by the radio.
It's now the priest down there. Yeah.
He's projecting.
Yeah.
Yes. He's projecting. My cross. Give me my gun back. Gator needs his gat.
Gator needs his gat.
Don't take any of my drugs.
But yeah, that's what the guy says. There were no survivors. Then the plane crashes. I wrote, what a dick. Boone is in there all fucked up when Locke finds him. And Locke's legs work very well now. Not only do they work, but he can pick Boone up.
Yeah, and he starts taking him back to the camp. I just was
Forrest Gump style.
Whoa.
I gotta find Bubba.
Yeah.
That style.
I just started a running.
Taking Boone back to the camp.
Where they going?
This was just the island just going really out of its way to specifically kill Boone.
They don't like Boone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We cut to Kate and Jack talking about fucking with Sawyer about his herpes and having a good laugh about that. And then in the middle of that, Locke shows up with Boone. His chest is fucked. He's like mangled. I didn't know he was that hurt, but he hurt real bad. And then Locke takes off. John's gone. What happened, Locke? Locke! And then... Locke.
He says that Boone fell off a cliff. And yeah. I'm kind of like, why would he lie?
He didn't lie, actually. I don't think so. He didn't mention that there was also a plane.
Sure. The plane also fell.
Like later, he's like, oh, Locke lied. I'm in the next episode. I'm like, did he? He did fall.
Yeah, he did.
He did fall.
I think he lied. I would consider that a lie.
It's called a lie by omission, I think.
It's a white lie, I guess.
White lies.
Back in the past, Locke's waking up after surgery. The nurse like, oh, you're such a nice guy for giving him your kidney. Cooper, his dad, had already checked out and went home to his rich private care. And Locke's like, that's not possible. And this is where it's losing me because I'm like, if you're running this hustle, you've got to be, and maybe that's just, again, characterizing his dad, but it's like, you've got to be an extreme dick to just be like, thanks, loser, bye. Like, why not just sit there with him? And like, you could still be friends, go hunting every couple weeks, and he would never even be angry.
I don't want to hang out with a poor.
Yeah. Look at his hair. It's fucking ridiculous. I'm never going to get any action hanging out with this guy.
I still got all my hair. That kid's going bald, clearly.
Seriously.
And then the mom shows up because she's, I think, homeless and was like walking by looking for free Jell-O.
I need the money.
It was his idea.
And no, he wouldn't do this to me. Oh, he would. He definitely would.
Yeah.
Eddie's in on it too. Yeah. Eddie. He's not even a security guard.
Not Eddie. No.
Yeah. So in the next scene, the guard won't let him in the house. He's crying.
I thought it was so funny that he drives up there and he gets out of the car and you can see like his back is fucking bleeding because I guess he just. Immediately left the hospital. Yeah. His stitches weren't even done. And poor Eddie's like, I gotta, you just don't make the cut, brother.
I need this job, man.
I'm real sorry. I know we had a thing.
And then he drives away in his red Volkswagen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Beetle. Mm-hmm. Love that.
He's just like hitting the car. He's all mad.
No, my dad. No.
Oh my God. How'd you get that clip, Steve?
No.
Are we allowed to use that?
I don't know. We're stealing directly from NBC.
No, Dad.
Every daddy issue island. Everyone's got
dead
one.
Deadbeat Dad Island.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Dad's a steal kidneys island.
When your dad makes you think that he loves you, but then tricks you into giving him his kidney.
Classic song.
So good.
Back in the present, Locke is crying at the hatch, praying to the island like he prayed to God in the previous scene in the past, which I like that. He's always had faith in things that let him down. So this is devastating to him, right? Because in the car, he was kind of railing against God and the universe that they would allow this to happen. And
why would you do this to me? I've done everything you wanted me to do.
Yeah, so he's praying to the island like, God damn it.
And his dad is God, you know, that's what he said so.
And then a light comes on in the hatch and Locke sees down into it. But we don't know what it is. Episode over.
Lost.
Which brings us to our favorite segment, Beach Please.
Please. It gets crazier every episode. Beach Please is a segment where I tell you guys a little bit of trivia, goofs, continuity errors, facts about the episode we just watched. Are you guys excited to hear this week's episode of Deus Ex Machina?
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you guys don't know, Deus Ex Machina is described as, by the dictionary, as an unexpected power or event saving a seemingly hopeless situation, especially as a contrived plot device in a play or novel, or in this case, a TV episode.
It means God in the machine, right?
Something like that. But the title of this episode could play into whatever's happening on the island with the hatch, or it could, John Locke could literally be a Deus Ex Machina for his dad. Showing up at the last minute and saving him.
So I don't really know what that means. Deus Ex Machina.
So it's like in a movie, if it's a bad thing. Okay. Say you're watching a movie, there's a the protagonist is a woman who's like trapped underneath a rock, and then a character you've barely seen flies in at the last second and lifts the rock, right?
Oh, okay.
It's totally unbelievable. Out of nowhere, they don't put any work to set up the solution.
Okay.
Deus Ex Machina, movie ruined. You know what I mean? Kind of thing. It happens all the time.
Gotcha. Okay.
In the toy store flashback at the beginning of the episode, when someone asks John Locke about his balls, he says, regulation footballs are in aisle 8. Nerf footballs are in aisle 1-5.
815.
Oceanic Flight 815. Boom.
Oh, shoot.
Numbers. Those are the numbers.
You're talking about the numbers.
Not the alphabets.
So this, according to Lossopedia, this episode takes place over day 39, 40, and 41 of the survivors being on the island. With this being in 2004, and, oh, you know what? I had this pulled up. Oh, yeah. So the plane crash of Oceanic Flight 815 takes place on September 22nd of 2004, meaning that Halloween took place over this episode.
Ooh.
Just a fun little timeline fact. Because if they were stuck on the island and this was, I think, day 40, if they landed on September 22nd, would mean it's October 31st.
For this episode?
In their timeline. Yeah.
Oh.
So, maybe when Boone was in a bloody outfit in the dream, he was just celebrating Halloween.
He was just dressed up.
Yeah, he just wanted some candy.
Okay.
According to Carlton Cuse, who is one of the writers of this episode, and also he's a pretty big producer of the show as well, Sawyer's farsightedness has been hinted at since the beginning of the series.
Ooh.
He specifically, and I'll be honest with you, I don't fully believe him with this, but this is his reasoning. He says Sawyer was successfully able to shoot a polar bear in Pilot Part 2 from far away, but misses Officer Mars's chest at close range into tabula rasa, meaning that he does not have the aim at short range compared to large range or far range. So Sawyer is far sighted. I can see it.
Yeah.
Sure, I buy it.
Yeah, whatever.
Swoozy Kurtz.
I did see him squinting when Kate was swimming in her underwear in the pool. He was like, yeah, Kate or Saeed. Either way, I'm in.
Stupid, sexy Saeed. Swoozy Kurtz, who plays Emily Locke, John's mom, has been in a ton of movies. You might recognize her as Dana Appleton in Liar Liar,
what's her name?
Swoozy Kurtz, Swoosie.
Love that name.
She's the opposing liar to Jim Carrey in Liar Liar. Mm. She's Dr. Greenbaum in Cruel Intentions. She is in a ton of stuff around the late 90s.
I would love to cover Cruel Intentions for the pod.
I bet you would.
That's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
I stand by that.
Yeah.
Swoozy Kurtz also was born in 1944. Terry O'Quinn was born in 1952, meaning she is only 8 years older than Terry O'Quinn.
Really?
Yep.
We couldn't tell.
It is mentioned, I believe, by the PI that John Locke hires that Emily Locke had spent time in the Santa Rosa Mental Health Institute. This is the same institute where Hurley goes to ask Lenny about the numbers.
Oh, shit.
Dun, dun, dun. We kind of mentioned before, Kevin Teague plays Anthony Cooper, John's dad.
He's been
a bunch of stuff. Kevin Teague, he was also born in 1944, meaning he is also only 8 years older than Terry O'Quinn.
Why did they do that? Why didn't they just cast somebody else?
I don't know. I guess they were going for Sean Connery, Harrison Ford thing in The Last Crusade, because those two are only like 7 years apart.
Oh, really?
But they're like father and son or something. Yeah.
But that's more believable.
They look it. Yeah.
Yeah.
These people do not look like they're that vastly different. In the scene where, God damn it, ever since we did Yellow Jackets, my iPad refuses to let me type out Jack without it auto-correcting to Jackie. And it fucking pisses me off. In the scene where Jack speaks to Sawyer about his headaches on the beach, Jack is actually wearing two different backpacks in that scene. So depending on what camera angle they cut to, he's wearing a completely different backpack. And it's pretty noticeable.
Continuity-wise, man.
Yeah.
My continuity demon does not like that.
No. And according to that IMDb list that we often reference, ranking the first season of episodes, you guys want to guess where this episode lands? Because it was quite surprising to me, honestly.
I would have, before you said that, I would have said toward the bottom. But since it's surprising, I'm guessing toward the top.
I'm going to guess number six.
Number six? What do you guess? He's thinking long.
Five. I'm going to price this writer.
Oh, it was fourth. Surprisingly.
Yes, I win. That's how you do it, baby.
Like you said, yeah, I win. Yeah. High five me, Madison.
Just rubbing it in.
Good job. Good job.
She wants to support my winning.
Yeah, she does. She's a supportive friend. But yeah, according to that list, this is the number four best episode of the series. Hard disagree for me. Yeah.
Agree.
Yeah.
So. I don't know if I could go back and like pinpoint an episode that is my favorite, but there is an episode that there are episodes I like more than this one, for sure.
I get it, though. Like, the present time stuff, there's some really high moments. Like, you know, Boone getting hurt, the stuff with Sawyer and the Herps and all that stuff. Like, that's funny.
Sawyer and the Herps. That's fun. That's a great band name.
Sawyer and the Herps.
Sawyer and the Herps.
I like that.
So we'd be the Herps. We'd be the lead singers.
We'd be the clap.
Oh.
It's got a rhea, but I'm with you. which is a sentence I did not think I would ever say. That's gonorrhea, but I'm with you. Fuck it.
Well, that concludes this week's episode of Beach, Please.
Beach.
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 What was that?
That's what it reminds me of. You're like, fucking the B pH place with the microphone.
But now that brings us to our Mile High Club moments, our top three favorite moments of the episode. Madison, start us off with your number three.
My number three is when it's very short scene, but Michael and Jin building the raft together. I liked the comment that Michael had of like, yeah, I now know idiot and faster in Korean. And I liked it, especially
that's a great line
coming off of the episode where they were literally wanting to kill each other. And now they're besties.
Boat buds.
They're bonding over their spouses being absolute shitheads. I think that's the best way to bond.
Dude, mine died. I hope that happens for you, man. Dap.
But before she died, she was shitty. Yeah. So, you know. Yeah. But that's my number three.
Steve, what's your number three?
My number three is Locke's freaky dream. That little freaky dream sequence he has where he sees the plane land and Boone's all bloody. Teresa's falling down and upstairs. That crazy bitch. She doesn't know which way is up or down. And
Teresa fall down.
And John Locke having his wheelchair. Like something about the impending fear that John Locke has about being paralyzed again. It works for me. Like I understand that like panic, like, oh, God, I cannot have that happen again.
You can imagine he'd be like really upset.
Yeah. And just like how I love it when the show is adventurous and does really off the wall, weird things visually. So this dream sequence is just kind of a fun sort of breaking of the norm that the show has. So that's why it's in my number three.
My number three is the same thing, that little horror sequence. It's just something, I don't know who directed this episode. I wasn't paying attention, but it's something different than the show has ever done. You know,
Robert Mandel.
I was about to say that. 19 episodes in, you know, they've done something so outside the norm. I think it's bold and beautiful. Roll that beautiful bean footage.
I knew you were going to say that.
Thank you. Madison, you're number two.
My number two is Jack interrogating Sawyer about his sex escapades. Clearly after he knows what's wrong with him, but he's just wanting to like dig a little deeper and kind of embarrass him in front of Kate. We all like the...
We all, everybody.
Like the two of them kind of stabbing at each other, trying to make themselves look bad in front of Kate. Because it is a love triangle essence between the two of them, between the three of them. And so I just thought it was really funny.
I love that look on Kate's face where she's like waiting for the answer.
Yeah. She like kind of does a little side eye moment. Like
oh, a prosty?
Her eyebrow gets a little up. You paying? Like,
How much did you pay?
You had sex with a prostitute?
Was it a good one or like a, not a good one?
She's like, me too.
Yeah, all the time. Steve, you're number two.
My number two is the gang coming together to give Sawyer his glasses. Just Jack fucking with him with the different types of frames and Saeed's welding the two different frames together. And they're all kind of poking fun at him when he finally gets his glasses. It's just a nice sort of camaraderie scene. And I love when the band comes together and is an actual like family or group. And this is a good example of that. So that's my number two.
That's my number two. We got the same three and two.
Dude, we're on the same wavelength.
Wow. For all the reasons that you said, and I talked about it during our breakdown, especially Saeed helping of all people. I think it was just a heartwarming moment. Madison, your number one favorite moment.
My number one favorite moment is your guys' number two, which is them helping with Sawyer and trying to figure out the whole glasses thing. It was like a sequence of, you know, Jack giving him multiple different ones and then Saeed putting the two different lenses together. I don't know. It was nice. And then the fact that, you know, you had the Harry Potter comment. It was a good scene. It's a good scene.
You're number one, Steve. What's it going to be?
I feel like I'm going to let you down on this one.
Probably.
Yeah,
probably. Usually do.
We can't keep this train rolling. It's just amazing that we've gotten, we all, like you and me, everybody.
Yeah.
The last
you
two.
And me, everybody.
You and me, everybody.
You and me, everybody. Me, myself, and I, everybody.
So I'm a sucker for really hype moments. I am a sucker for sure. I also know where the show's going. And I when this scene in particular just brings me back to when I first watched this show for the first time and just the hype and the excitement and the allure I felt about what's in that GD hatch. And so my number one moment is John Locke on top of the hatch praying to it. And then when that light comes on, it's such a big like, ooh, sit up in your seat moment. Like, oh, the light turned on. What does that mean? I need to know what's in the goddamn hatch. I am John Locke. I need to know We have to figure out what's in there. And so that's why I just have the light coming on is my number one favorite moment.
Interesting. My number one is the herpes moment. I think you're number two, Madison.
Yes.
That whole scene. Delightful.
So good.
Just delightful. Good fun. Which brings me to our passenger princess segment, our nominations about the favorite performance of the episode. Madison, who's going to win the award today for you?
I feel as though maybe we all might be.
Everybody?
I don't know. It could go either way.
Swoozy it is. Let's go.
Terry O'Quinn is mine. Definitely had the most on camera time. And I feel like in order to rock that comb over, like you have to give credit where credit's due. So
did he rock it though?
He definitely
put it on.
He had it on. Yeah.
He had it on for sure.
But Terry O'Quinn, I think this was kind of the first time that we've seen him not embody this all knowing imagery. And so he had to, you know, be a little stressed out, be a little frantic. And I thought that was, it was a good performance.
My natural disposition.
Yeah, exactly. But he is my passenger princess.
Steve, who are you nominating?
I mean, it should go without saying I'm nominating Terry O'Quinn again.
We all, everybody.
Are you doing it too?
I wanted to be stubborn because like a lot of the past stuff I don't like, but like let's give it to Ian Somerhalder or something. But I'm like,
I did think about that as well.
Yeah, I think he was really good in this episode.
Well, I've waxed poetically about Terry.
I'm always down to give it to Evangeline Lilly. The award.
Tell me why you're giving it to you. Nice. Tell me why you're giving it to Terry.
Terry is probably who I would give the Lost TV show Passenger Princess award to, you know?
That's fair.
And so whenever possible, I just think he has this wonderful twinkle in his eye. Aloofness.
That's Boone.
That's, yeah. That's aloofness. Boone.
Don't confuse the twinks.
That works so well with the mystery of this show, but also a warmth and heart and empathy to other characters like Walt. He has like this Gandalf type quality that's really enjoyable. And especially like when he does get frantic and upset and scared, this other side of him comes out that is explored very well in this episode. So he does deserve it. But I do think the writers on what they did with the past in this episode kind of cut some corners in a bad way. But he deserves it. Why do you think so, Steve?
Oh, everything. I do think this is the great episode where sort of what Madison touched on. He has been portrayed as this smooth, all-knowing, confident, calm guy. And to see him in a different time where he was not that, he was unsure of himself. He just wants to have a relationship with his parents. And then when it gets taken away from him, to see him not that, and like you view this character in a completely different lens now. He's not just cool, I can hunt anything with my hands, John Locke on the island. It's kind of like this guy was kind of pathetic even before whatever accident happened to him. Like he was just kind of a pathetic kind of guy. And you pity him in a weird way, even though he's probably the most capable person on that island. Mm-hmm. With this knowledge of his backstory, you still kind of pity him because he needs this island. Because in the real world, he's not what we all think of him as. He's not his true self.
Right.
And I think Terry O'Quinn is just really good at emoting that. That's why I'll always give it to him.
He's a monster. He's a beast.
The award.
Sure. Just to be clear. And now our final segment, the Lost and Found segment, where we keep track of all the mysteries as they're unfolding and then as they're revealed. Are there any new mysteries to add to the list this week? Are any ones that were solved that were already on the list?
Well, this week, Madison and I talked about it last week. I want to briefly run down all the mysteries again just to catch up, just to see if if we missed anything. So we have, what is the monster? Why is it beautiful? What happened to the plane? Why did it crash? Why is there a polar bear on the island? Where are they? What are Kate's crimes, comma, who did she kill?
Mm-hmm.
Why did the monster spare Locke? Why is Locke so secretive? What's Jack's deal, professional and personal? Can we answer that?
I feel like yes.
Yeah.
He has daddy issues and he's a doctor.
Yeah.
Daddy issues?
Daddy?
Daddy doctor issues?
Why can John Locke walk again? Where are the hairbrushes? Definitely don't know the answer to that one.
No.
We know where all the glasses are.
We found those.
We can assume Sawyer has the hairbrushes, but
yeah. Not confirmed though.
I mean, his hair always looks good. Mm-hmm. So.
Where's Jack's father's body?
Yeah.
Who were the dead people in the caves? Who attacked Saeed when he initially got knocked out that first time?
I feel like we can answer that as Russo, right?
Ethan, I think.
Oh.
Right? Because I think in the moment we figured out that that was not Russo, right?
Oh, when he was supposed to be launching the rocket or something? Yeah.
Not when he got trapped up, but when he went looking for...
That was...
That Ethan. Had to be Ethan.
Yeah, I feel like that's Ethan.
I think we can take that off the list.
Yeah, we can take that off. Boom. Who are the others, quote unquote? What took the French people, like that sickness?
Mm.
Where's Alex Russo's daughter? What is the cable that Saeed was following? What is the Black Rock? Why does Ethan / the others
want Claire's baby? We know Claire's the cable baby? That Saeed was following was just like a trap that she set.
No, the cable's different. The trap is something that was just around the cable. The cable is a different thing.
Hmm.
Why do they want Claire's baby? Who is Ethan? We don't really know that answer yet either. What's up with that psychic / baby? Are we talking about Claire's psychic?
I think so.
Like what was his deal?
Yeah.
What's in the hatch? What happened to Charlie with Ethan? Why was he comatose? What does the French translation mean? I think that's the papers. What is Kate's plane? Remember, she has like toy plane.
Mm-hmm.
What is Walt's power?
Oh my God, I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
What happened to Claire / where's the baby? Oh, we wrote where's the baby because we thought she was not pregnant anymore, but she was just what happened to
where's
Claire?
That's insane. That's absolutely insane.
How did Claire escape the numbers? Where did Russo move? We asked that last week because she blew up her house. What is Hurley's relationship with the institution?
Apparently nearby.
Where does she move? Yeah. She's just hanging around. What is Hurley's relationship with that mental institution? And who picked up... Oh, I wrote a new thing to add to this was who picked up Boone's radio transmission when he was trying to call
out.
That's
a good one.
Yeah, whoever it was is trolling. It's some guy from 4chan. For sure.
Were there any other... mysteries that came up this episode, or do you think we can answer any mysteries?
I mean, I guess it's assumed that the drug smugglers just crashed the plane and died. Like, I don't know if there's any additional story there, but maybe.
Yeah, they're up to nefarious things.
Like, what happened to them? But I feel like we can just assume that they crash landed and died.
I mean, I think there's something there. Maybe not. I don't so much care about the plane crashes, like what did the island want Locke to find? Did it want, like, there's something there, you know?
Yeah.
And also we already asked what's in the hatch, but now there's a little more to that, like who turned on the light or something, you know, maybe.
Who turned on the light?
Who's paying the electric bill on the island?
Oh.
I haven't seen any solar panels.
I think, can we also ask how did Locke get paralyzed? Is that a thing?
We can add that, yeah.
Because we've already, I think we just
why can he walk again? But now you want to add, why was he paralyzed?
Exactly, because I think if you show him walking around healthy, that begs the question, like, what happened to his legs?
Yeah, what happened paralyzed? To him?
Mm-hmm. I think that's it, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are great additions.
That brings us to a close of our coverage of episode 19, Deus Ex Machina. Tune in a few days for our breakdown of episode 20. That'll be on Friday, probably. Get excited for that. We're also talking about
Tank Girl
this week.
On Wednesday.
And if you're a patron member, you can hear our breakdown of David Cronenberg's The Fly.
And if you're a Patreon member, you can hear about Chris's trip to Sundance.
Yeah, on our After Hours special event.
Man, you can have 5 episodes of streaming things if you're a Patreon this week.
Just if you're so inclined.
Yeah.
But right now, that's all the time we have. We've got to go return some videotapes. My name is Kit.
My name's Madison.
And my name's Steve.
Oh boy, and this is Streaming Things.
Oh boy.
Boom golly.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.